So many times people will say to me, well, why does this happen, or why did that happen, or why is this, or why is that? But Scripture tells us pretty clearly, and you need to turn to John 16:33.
I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
How many know that in this world there's trouble? How many of you ever had an ounce of trouble in your life? You don't have to look for it, do you? It finds you. In this world, because we live in an imperfect place, we'll have trouble. Because we live in a fallen world, we will have trouble. How many of you know this world is messed up? I mean, the more you listen to the news, the more messed up it becomes. How many of you understand it gets messed up more each day? This world is messed up. And in addition to that, in this world, you will have trouble. Sometimes we're surprised about trouble. Sometimes we look at the world and we say, why do I have to endure this? Well, because everyone endures it. We just endure it at different times. Isn't that not true? I am convinced, the older that I get, I am more convinced that if you live on this earth long enough, you'll get your turn. If you live on this earth long enough, you will get your turn when the trouble train comes. How many understand that's true? It's not an option. We deal with it because it's not an option. We have trouble. That's the way the world is. You see, our supposition about this world is that good people shouldn't have trouble. Well, who has trouble? Everybody. That's just the way that it works. Everybody gets their turn. And so what do we do with that? The last couple weeks, I've been bringing a series of messages about, are you drifting through life? Are you just simply drifting? And many people do. That's the easy way to have a life. Just drift. Get up in the morning and do the same thing you've always done. Brush your teeth with the same hand. Fact is, I'm going to challenge you to do something. I'm going to show you how we are all creatures of habit, and you don't want to change hardly anything. What I'm going to ask you to do tonight, and I'll bet you won't be able to do it, how many of you have your side of the bed? Who has your side of the bed? Matt, you know you got your side, right? What's your side, Matt? Right or left? Now listen to me now. What I want you to do tonight, I want you to purposefully get in on the other side. Oh, I hear some murmuring. I hear people go, oh, hey, Pastor, I'm willing to go to Ethiopia, but I'm not going to do that. And not only do I want you, now catch this now, not only do I want you to get in on the other side, I want you to take the pillow and put it at the foot of the bed. So sleep on the other side in the opposite direction. How many's going to do that for me? Two people. Well, let me see if I can't get rid of these two. And I want you to take the bed and switch it on the other side of the room. Matt? Switch hard. Come on, Matt. Is that hard stuff? Huh? Hard stuff? Yeah. Move the bed to the other side. Get in on the other side and switch the head to the feet. How many are thinking, man, this guy's crazy. See, you can't even do what? That. Can you? Because we are what? Creatures of habit. We do what we've always done. We do things the way we've always done it. That's what we do. We get up in the morning and we're the same as we were the day before. What we think yesterday, we think today. How we behaved last year is how we behave today. What we do is we get in a boat and we drift through life. And wherever the current takes us, guess what? Oh well. Is that the way life was supposed to be? No, it's not. See, life is full of choices. While most people are going with the flow, some people are rowing upstream. And sometimes there are some obstacles in the way. It's called trouble. So what do we do with that? Let's look in our Bibles, please, to James 1:2-3.
Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow.
How many of you know how to ride a two-wheel bike? How many take the training wheels off? See, when Berkeley gets older, she's going to want to ride a two-wheel bike. That's what she's going to want to do, because that's all we all wanted to do. How many wanted to ride a two-wheel bike? And Carrie and Matt are going to help teach her how to ride a two-wheel bike. And her two-wheel bike, I know, and these guys will have streamers. Carrie's already going, oh, oh, oh. It'll have streamers coming down. It'll have a nice little basket, a little belt, ding, ding, ding. And it's going to have training wheels. She's going to fall in love with that bike. And one day, she's going to look at all her friends and she's going to say, well, wait a second. There's something different about my bike and their bike. What's the difference? I don't want them training wheels on my bike. I want you, Dad, to what? Take them off. Now, Dad's a pretty smart guy. And Carrie's a beautiful, smart woman. And they both know that when they take them training wheels off, something's going to happen. What's going to happen? She's going to fall. How many know that? She's going to fall. And she's going to skin her knees. That's what she's going to do. And she's going to cry a little bit, because that's what we all have done. How many women know men cry a lot? Just checking. That's what we do. Now, Matt and Carrie know that when those training wheels come off, she's going to go for a tumble. How many parents know the kid's going to go for a tumble? That's what happens. But that's the only way for her to learn to what? To ride a what? Two-wheel bike. See, God knows that about you too. See, God knows the only way to get you on a two-wheel bike is you're going to have to fall off. Isn't that true? You're going to go for a tumble. That's the way life is. Would it be better for us to never have had the training wheels come off? Henceforth, we never would have fallen and skinned our knees. Would that be better? Or would it be better to take the training wheels off? That's the way life is. How many of you were 16 at one time? Just checking out. How many got their driver's license for the first time ever? You all did, right? How many had one accident or two when you were doing it? Matt, you know a lot of people have accidents, don't they? Ed? But that's the way you what? That's the way you learn. That's unfortunate. Wouldn't it be great if you could just learn things without having to go through trouble? Wouldn't it just be great, like through osmosis or something, like you take a pill, boop, there you can ride a two-wheel bike? I've learned something recently. Stay off of ladders. Especially flimsy ones, Matt. Did you know that? I fell off a ladder twice in a row, broke my back. I've learned not to get on ladders. I've also learned, watch those motorcycles. I wrecked that thing twice. I've also learned not to try to put a handle on a broken guitar case with a pocket knife. Cut the tip of my finger off. So I learned that. And because I learned that, Sissy bought me a new case with a handle on it. Brand new handle. She said, put the knife away, dude. But some things are worth learning. So what is our purpose? When you got up this morning and I said to you, what's your purpose today? You know what most people say to me? I don't know. Where are you going with life? What's your goals? You get through today. And you know what that means? You're drifting. Just drifting through life. Wherever life goes, that's where you go. Is that what the Lord has in store? No. See, the Lord is more interested in your character and less interested in your comfort. See, if the Lord was interested in our comfort, for example, the Great Commission would sound like this. Go ye therefore up the street and preach the gospel. Go ye therefore around the corner and preach the gospel. But what does he say? Go ye therefore into the world and preach the gospel. Is he interested in our comfort? No. He's interested in our character. Downstairs right now with my wife Sissy are some children that can tie their shoes and some that can't. What are the goal with those who can't tie their shoes is to what? Learn to tie them. If their mom or dad ties their shoes for them every single day, what will they never learn how to do? Tie their shoes. That's the way life works, isn't it? So what do we do? Let's look at, for example, Deuteronomy 32, 9 to 11.
For the Lord's portion in his people, Jacob has allotted inheritance. In a desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young. that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft.
Scripture says that God is like a mother bird and defined as an eagle. And I want you to get the vision with me for just a moment, if you can. I want you to think about a mother eagle. And she makes her nest for her soon-to-be eaglets that she has hatched. And in the mother's nest, she makes it as comfortable as she knows how. She puts rabbit fur in there, and she puts feathers and leaves, and she makes that nest really, really, really comfortable. That's what she does. And on the appointed time that only she knows, she's the only one that knows about this appointed time, she's going to do something that the baby eagles are not very fond of. Now, the baby eaglets are very comfortable in the nest. They're sitting surrounded by fur and down. And what do they do to eat? What do they got to do to eat? Open their mouths up. And what does a mama do? Feeds them. Oh, it's comfortable in the nest. It's very comfortable. And the baby eaglets would stay comfortable for how long? Forever. But on the appointed time, and only she knows when that time is, she comes and she does something pretty peculiar to the baby eaglets. She takes the down in her beak, and what does she do with it? She throws it out of the nest. And the baby eagles are looking at this, and they're saying, "What are you doing, Mama?" And she takes the fur and the leaves, and she throws it off the nest. That's what she does. And the only thing that's left in that nest is pointy, sharp sticks. And the little baby eagle is not comfortable anymore. The baby eagle is a little uncomfortable. And the baby eagle saying to herself, "Wait a second, I was comfortable and now I'm not. I have all this sharp, pokey stick stuff. I don't like it here anymore." And so the mama bird comes down and she says to the baby, "What's the matter, honey?" And the baby says, "I'm not comfortable in this nest anymore." And mama says, "Well, why don't you climb up on my back? It's nice and comfortable up there." And the baby does that because the baby doesn't want to be in that sharp, pointy, sticky nest. And so the baby climbs up on the mama's back. And the mama says, "Now hang on, I'm going to take you for a ride." And that mama eagle takes off with that baby on its back. And that baby's comfortable now because that baby's on the mama's back. "Oh, mama, it's so nice and warm and comfortable here. Thank you for this comfortable place." And mama says, "That's okay." And that mama eagle soars up into the heavens. And that baby is seeing for the first time the world from a different vantage point. And that baby says, "Oh, thank you, mama. This is great." And the mama eagle says, "That's okay." Whoop. And flips upside down. Now, I can't speak baby eagle. And I'm sure the baby eagle is saying something. So I'm like, "Ah!" But I'm sure that baby eagle is probably saying this: "I thought you loved me. I thought you cared about me. And not only do you mess up my home, but now you drop me into my death. And I'm going to fall from the heavens and crash my little head on the rocks. And I thought you loved me. I thought you cared about me." And just before that baby eagle crashes its head on the rocks, that mama comes like a meteor out of heaven. Oh, by the way, one's coming. You know that, Ed? One's coming. Tonight, I think. Wear your helmets. And that baby eagle crashes down out of the heavens. And just before that baby hits its head on the rocks, it catches it on its back and takes it back up into the heavens. And that baby eagle, speaking eagle, said, "Oh, mama, thank you. I knew it was a mistake. I knew you didn't want anything to happen to me, mama. Oh, thank you, mama. Oh, you're the greatest. You're the best. You're the mostest. Oh, it's okay, honey." And she soars up in heaven. Guess what she does again? Drops him again. And this process continues and continues and it continues. And that baby would say, "Mama, that first time wasn't an accident, but this time it's on purpose. You're trying to kill me." And about the fourth or fifth time, that baby eagle does something they didn't know it could do. It flies. Because that baby would say, "Mama, mama, mama, I didn't know I could do this." "I know, honey. But I did." You see, you are created to fly. God did not create people that weren't supposed to soar. He created you to what? fly. He created us to do what, Pastor Ed? Stick the wings out and what? Fly. Some of us don't want to soar. We want to stay. Some of us have a hard time with that. And that's okay. But does God intend you not to soar in the heavens? No, He created every one of us as baby eagles. He's created us to what? To soar. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31.
Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
All of us get weary at times, don't we? How many get weary at times? Just being perfectly honest with you, I'm getting older. Ed's almost as old as me. We decided 10 months difference right there. And I was on the way home yesterday from doing Jimmy and Carol's wedding up in someplace near Alaska or someplace. It seemed like it. And I did Jimmy and Carol's wedding. We left Friday to do the rehearsal, and it was on the other side of Meadville, some place called Townville or something. It was like 2 hours, 20 minutes away from our house. And on the way back, well, Sissy and I stayed up there Friday night because we didn't want to drive up and back, so we stayed, and I didn't get a lot of rest. How many don't get rest in hotels sometimes? I just didn't. Yeah, I was tossing and turning. And on the way home from Townville, it was about 8 o'clock last night, I said to Sissy, I'm tired. I don't know how I'll keep on doing this. I'm tired. And she just hugged me and said, you'll do it as long as the Lord tells you to do it. Getting tired, get weary. Driving, get weary. Everybody gets weary. How many get weary? We all get weary. We get weary of life. We get weary of circumstances. We all get weary of something. It says even youth will fall exhausted. Even youth will go weary. Oh, but for those who wait upon the Lord, they shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up like what? Wings like eagles. So what is your goal? What is your purpose? If somebody like me says to you, what is your goal? What is your purpose? You need to say to me to soar. See, the world doesn't need more succumbers. We need a lot more what? Overcomers. You see, trouble is not an option. You get your turn. Everybody gets a turn. But what do we need to do when trouble comes? Soar. Let's do the last one. Let's do Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 13.
So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong.
Let's close with this thought I want to tell you about. When we get sad or depressed, how many have ever been sad or depressed? We all have a turn at that kind of stuff, right? When you get sad or depressed, and what I do for a living, we see people like this, sad and depressed, right? You see sad and depressed people, and they're sitting at their tables or in their rooms, and people who are sad and depressed, they sit kind of like what? They sit like this? How do they sit? Don't they? They kind of sit this way. They sit with their whole stature is just confined. Right over here, one of my dear friends, Kenny, she's a gym teacher, right? Phys Ed. Is that a good posture for people? No. We are not created to function this way. Breathing like this, right, is not a good thing. It's hard to breathe this way. We are to breathe which way? Upright and our shoulders back. And when we get depressed and we get lonely and we get sad, we tend to bend our knees and we tend to have this kind of posture. This is what we are like. And Scripture says, hey, when trouble comes, straighten the knees. Which means what? Stand up. Stand up. And those hands that's hanging down, swinging low, poor me, poor me, poor me. What are you supposed to do with them? Strengthen them. And how are you going to strengthen them if you don't use them? You have to strengthen them. I'm getting to be an older person now. And I still try to stay in some kind of shape. And we have this weight machine downstairs. And Shauna knows about this weight machine we have downstairs. And I like to do bench presses. And, you know, I'm up to like 60 pounds now. No. Just kidding, Ed. Just kidding. Matt, that was a joke, Matt. About 180 pounds or so. And it's just me and Sissy. And sometimes I'm stuck. Because it's me and her. And so I go, Keith, not a good thing, right, Kenny? And I'm spot, so it's on my chest that I'm going, oh, help me, Jesus. You ever been in that position? Oh, help. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And it's not going up, Matt. And so I do what any husband would do that has a wife upstairs. I call very Sissy. Oh, Sissy. Sis. And I hear, did you do that again? Did you do that again? And so she walks downstairs. I have the weight on my chest, and she straddles my head, and she says to me in her loving voice, silly, silly man. Ladders, motorcycles, knives, now weights. Silly, silly man. Now, you saw her, and she's not going to lift 180 pounds. And I have it stuck on my chest. How many guys know what I'm talking about? It's stuck. I did the reps, Ed, and now I'm going, oh. That one more I thought I could do, I shouldn't have done. How many's been in that situation? And I'm stuck. Now, Sissy comes down, and she leans over top of me, and she takes her two fingers, and she puts them under the bar. And here's a philosophical, theological question, and she has to lift the weight off of my chest so that I can do what, Ed? Push. How much weight does she have to lift? That's a philosophical question. How much weight does she have to lift in order for me to what? Push. What do you think, Matt? Matt, 180, he says 5 pounds, right? And does she have to lift 180 pounds? No, just enough. She has to lift just enough. It could be 5 pounds. It could be 3 pounds. It could be 4 pounds, 10 ounces. Whatever it is that she has to lift for me to what? Push. Now, Kenny, if I'm doing 40 reps, the first 10 making me strong, it's the last one, isn't it, Matt? It's the last one. It's the one I can't lift. It's the one I can't push. It's the one that makes me struggle. It's the one I can't do it. I can't do it. And Sissy says, yes, you can. Push. You push. Don't tell me you can't. You push. And it's in the pushing of the last one is where you gain your strength. So what are you supposed to do in life, brothers and sisters? You push. You need help. You cry out. But you still what? You push. Don't you succumb to the weight of the world? Don't you succumb to all the troubles that life has to bring you? What should you do, Kenny? Push. You push. And when you're done pushing, you straighten those knees up. And you get your shoulders square. And you get your wings out. And what should you do? Soar. Now sometimes it's lonely. There aren't a lot of eagles. There aren't a lot of people pushing. There's a lot more people succumbing. That's just the truth. There's a lot of more people bending under the weight. More people love this song. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Some people have learned to what? Push. How many of you are going to push through life? Who's going to push through life in this room? That when troubles come, you are going to push. You are going to stand, and you're going to get your legs straight, and you're going to get your shoulders square, and you are going to what? Push. And if you need help, you cry out for help. How many is willing to help somebody help push in this room? Who's willing to somebody say, you know what, it's too much, I can't do it, I can't do it. Who's willing to help somebody push? Well, we got a lot of people helping people push. Now, I'm going to just leave this message talking to my dear friend Kenny because she is my friend. She may not be after I put her on the spot, but you're a phys ed teacher, right? Isn't pushing the weight a good thing? Would it be good to let that weight lay on my chest and just roll it over? What's the best thing to do? Confirmed by a phys ed instructor. Oh, thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to know that we are created to fly, That's what we are created to do. And Lord, as we come to this place today, and we don't have to compare ourselves to somebody else. We just have to push what the Lord tells us to push. Whatever the Lord lays in our lives, we push. We take care of it. Whatever it is. Lord, an option of not having trouble is never going to happen. We are always going to have trouble. That's the way it is. We don't live in a perfect place. We live in a fallen world. We are going to have trouble. That's the way it is. And Lord, we have some options, I would suppose. We can succumb to it, or we can push. We can stay in the nest as long as we care to. But Lord, sometimes you unsettle it, and you say, no, my child, now it's time to soar. And so soar we will. Help us all in this room, Lord, to become strengthened, not in spite of our problems, but because of them. And all of God's children said,